Hello, welcome to Brap Life. My name's Angel. Thank you guys so much for all of the support that you've given over the past 7, 8 months that I've been doing this. It is absolutely amazing to know that this podcast has reached so many people across the entire world. We have 22 countries that this podcast is being downloaded in, and it is absolutely insane to me. I love the fact that these stories resonate with people across the world, and it's just so cool to know that I'm making friends all over the place. People reach out to me all the time, and I have a long list of people to bring onto the podcast, so please don't think that I'm ignoring your nomination. I just have a lot of people to get to, and it's hard to kind of cross time zones. For example, this week's episode is with my friend Kat Kingsley. She is in Tasmania, which is an 18-hour time difference from where I am here in the US. So it took a lot of scheduling, but we were finally able to sit down, and this was such a cool episode. I've been following Kat for almost a year, and she is just so much of me and yet so much of what I want to be. She is all about mindset and positivity, and just she unleashes her inner beast on a bike. She is so good at hard enduro, and she's just this positive force in life, and it's really inspired me a lot. And so it was really cool to sit down with her and talk about it and kind of hear a little bit more of her story. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I know I had a really great time talking to her, and we're gonna have to bring her back because we have so much more to talk about. But I hope you enjoy the episode, like I said, and I'll see you next week. All right. Well, welcome to Brap Life.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I have been looking forward to this conversation ever since I followed you. I've wanted to connect.
Yeah, me too. This is really cool. I'm super, super excited. So, first of all, you just had an epic, like, crazy ride weekend with the ladies out there. How was that? Like, I saw your highlight videos, but tell me about it.
Oh my God, it was so much fun. This is the power of social media, right? Like, I had only met Tyler at Wildwood. We did a big race in Victoria, in Australia. Mm-hmm. Last November. So I met her there, which was lovely, and then we connected over social media after. And then Reno, I didn't realize that she knew Reno, and we've been following each other for about a year and a half, and so we've just been talking here and there, and I was like, you guys should come over to Tassie. So we made it happen, and yeah, we just had an epic 3 days of riding. Bit of hard enduro on the Friday, up at a place called Poetina, and had a couple of friends come along. And then on Saturday, we went to a place called Derby. Anyone who knows Tassie, Derby's like the mountain biking mecca, but everyone's like, oh, is there dirt biking there as well? I'm like, yes, there's a lot of dirt biking all over Tassie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's so really funny because isn't Tassie like really small? Like, I mean, kind of comparatively,
I guess it is small, if you look at it on the map. But if you have a look at the, I guess, it's not overpopulated or anything. So there's a lot of state forests, a lot of land to ride on, yeah.
Okay, that's really cool. I spoke with Connor Hennessy's from there. And so that was kind of like when I first, I mean, I knew Tasmania existed, but I, you know, didn't really know a whole lot about it until I spoke with him. So it's just so funny that like, I now know two people from there. I'm like, what are the chances? Like completely on the other side of the world. And now I know multiple people. So it's kind of awesome. And it's really funny. The very first episode of this podcast, I actually connected with people in Australia from it, and I'm like episode one. And so like, I feel like connected to Australia ever since then. And I've always wanted to go. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm planning in the next couple years, it's gonna happen. It's gotta happen because like, oh my gosh, now I know people there. So like, it's a must. It is an absolute must.
Please let me know if you come to Tasmania because I would definitely love to take you riding.
Oh my God, that'd be like a dream come true. That would be so amazing. Yes. I'm so excited. Oh, it needs to happen now.
So the big trip next year is Romania is the big one, but I'm hoping I can also squeeze in Australia next year as well towards the end of the year. So we'll see. But awesome. Oh, so I'm so excited. So I'm gonna go completely out of order here just because of how we're talking already. If you could go ride anywhere else in the world, where would you go?
Oh, that's such a hard question. I am definitely a traveler, and I have traveled a lot. So I've been to, Canada, Alaska, New Zealand, and lots of places around Australia. I've been to Europe. I went riding in Canada. That was incredible. And I've been riding in New Zealand as well, and it's kind of very similar to Tassie, to be honest. It's very lush. Oh, but okay. on my list next is probably America somewhere.
You have to let me know when you come, because yeah. I mean the States are really, really big, but I go all over, and I've traveled most of the US in the last year and a half. I've been to almost every single state. So
wow.
Yeah, I went across the country six times last year. So if you come, it's my excuse to go, and I will go wherever you are, and I will come and see you.
So where are you actually located? I was gonna ask.
I'm in Arizona. So I'm in the northern part of Arizona. I'm actually pretty close to Las Vegas.
Arizona. And yeah. The friends that just came on the weekend, they went last year actually to a dirt biking trip. I think it was Utah. Meg up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said that's it was awesome. Yeah, they said it was awesome.
Yeah. I just went to Utah. So I've been to Utah, but I went riding in Utah a couple weekends ago. And it was epic. It was scary, but it was very, very cool. I'd never ridden that kind of terrain before. And that's the really cool thing about traveling. I've ridden in 16 different states now. And it's just so cool to learn the different terrain. Some places, the rocks look identical, but in one place, they have a lot of grip. And in another place, they fall apart as soon as you touch them. So it's a huge challenge to go. I've spent most of my time riding on the East Coast of the US, and now I'm on the West Coast, and it's completely different. There's no woods, there's no trees out here, unless you go up in the mountains. But yeah, it's all rocks and exposure out here. So it's been completely different, and basically learning a new style of riding, essentially.
And what's your favorite style of riding? What's your favorite terrain? Ooh. Sorry.
I've always really liked woods riding. That's kind of what I started with and what I'm most comfortable with, but the boys have really kind of started getting me into this hill climb stuff and going up on the really high mountains and stuff. Well, not mountains, but they're hills, but they're huge. They might as well be mountains and that sort of thing. I'm really liking, I've been getting into hard enduro with them, and I'm really liking that. And I have a lot of skills to work on for that, but but I absolutely love it. It's what I've wanted to do for years. So it's been really cool to have people who are patient on the trail and will help me get through stuff and teach me how to do it properly. So it's really cool.
Oh, that's so good that you have a supportive community around you that you can sort of learn off.
Yeah, it's really great. I've been really, really lucky to find people all over the place that help me and are really supportive like that. Cause I've really just got serious riding this last year. I've ridden for a couple years before that, but really seriously in this last year. And so it's been really cool to have so many people just cheering me on, people like you from across the world. And it's just, you guys can see the progress, and that means a lot to me. So
yeah,
that's been really fun.
Yeah, no, it's really good to watch. And I'm so curious because I've gone from like enduro racing, I still enduro race, but into hard enduro in the last couple of years as well. And I'm curious what you love about hard enduro.
I've been watching it for a long time. And so I saw Erzberg like probably 10, 11 years ago. And I didn't know you could do that on a dirt bike, but I didn't even get a dirt bike until like 7 years later. And I don't know. As soon as I got my dirt bike, I was like, you guys, I'm going to do that Erzberg stuff. Like, I'm going to do hard enduro. And that's just what I wanted to do. I don't know. But once I started doing it, I think dirt biking in general has given me a lot of confidence, and that's not something I ever had in life. And so for me, it's just like this freedom and confidence, and it's just the challenge and, you know, being able to overcome something. You have to overcome the terrain, whether it's getting up a hill climb or over a rock obstacle or roots or, you know, whatever it is. It's a lot of challenging and it's a lot of growth that you have to do to get through it. And I absolutely love that. And being able to do that with amazing people is even better. Like, you get to know people at their core. I feel like when you ride with somebody, you get to see what they're like in the most stressful situations. And at least in the kind of riding that we do, right? Like, I mean, you can tell if somebody's a good person, they're like freaking out all the time, or if they're just like super chill and they're like, oh, yep, it's cool. And they just go through. And like, I don't know. I think that riding with people really tells you a lot about them. So it's cool.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think there's a lot of transferable, sort of want to say skills, but like little tools for life that you learn on the dirt bike about yourself, like, you know, that emotional regulation, how to deal with that fear, how to deal with that stress, interacting with different people from all walks of life, like, and you've got this common thing that you can enjoy together. And like we were just saying on the week after the last 3 days of riding, we're like, wow, how lucky are we? Like, most people who don't do anything close to what we do would never experience what we experienced on the weekend. Like, they wouldn't even have a clue. And I'm like, wow, like, how cool would it be if we could just show a snippet of, you know, what we get up to on our bikes and the adventure, the, you know, the things that we have to push through sometimes that, oh, I don't know if I can do that.
It's really cool. I think it's really awesome because for those that don't know, Kat is really great at sharing a lot of stuff about mindset and positivity, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But I think that has been a huge part of what's drawn me to dirt biking and to the kind of riding that I do, is that I've really had to change my mindset. A couple years ago, I got divorced and I was a completely different person back then. And I had to really push to become essentially an athlete, because I was not somebody who grew up doing sports. I didn't grow up riding bikes and bicycles and anything like that. So I really say that I started from like underground zero, and I had to build myself up to that, because my ex-husband used to tell me all the time, he's like, you are the least graceful person ever. If there's somebody who could trip on air, it's you. And like, I was just like, but that was me 100%. I have no balance. Like, I just was not coordinated. And so to jump on a dirt bike and then just decide, hey, I'm going to really try to do this whole hard enduro thing when I can barely walk in a straight line, like, I've really had to push. But along with that, I've really had to change my mindset. And so I've been drawn to hard enduro because of the challenge, but then also because I think you have to have a strong mindset to make it through the terrain, whether it's a race or just riding it. It takes a lot of resilience, and it's really, really cool to be around those people. Like I said, you learn a lot about them by how they handle the terrain, and it's helped me learn a lot about me too. So it's really helped me grow into the person that I want to become.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's taught me a lot as well.
Yeah. So let's kind of flash back real quick. How did you get into riding in the first place? And then along with that, kind of how did that evolve into like all of the mindset and everything that you do with your workshops and all of that? I want to hear all about you.
Yeah, that's a big story.
I like it.
I started, actually got into dirt biking through horse riding. So for my whole life, I've basically been a horse rider up until a couple of years ago. And I've always been drawn to horses because they're just, yeah, the adventure, the fun, but also the healing aspect of it. And then I was riding this my friend's horse, and her partner rode dirt bikes, and that's how they would go out every weekend. And naturally they were like, oh, do you want to come for a ride or have a go? And I had a go up their driveway. I still remember the day, and I'm like, oh, I felt so scared and just like on this big bike and on, you know, sandy ground and like lots of power and but yeah, I just loved it. It was just such a thrill. And I think since then I think I convinced my partner, like, let's get a dirt bike. he didn't want a two-wheeler. I really wanted a two-wheeler, but unfortunately he had the funds at the time, so we got a quad. And as soon as I sailed for my own bike, I got a two-wheeler. So I started off on a CRF 150R. And where we were riding, it was very very sandy, so most of the trails we were riding were very boggy sand, which wasn't the best for such a small bike. My brother was at first trying to convince me to buy a CR250, which is like a bigger bike, you know, two-stroke, 250 MX bike, which was way too much power, I think, for someone who has no idea what they're doing.
yeah.
So I went for the smaller bike because I really wanted to be able to touch the ground, that wasn't the best for the sand. However, I could touch the ground, so as many times as I fell off, it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I would be like that crazy girl out on a 40-degree day in the heat, riding my dirt bike, and would go out for like the whole day and just have so much fun. And I just got addicted to it from there. But I didn't really know many people that rode. And
yeah,
somehow I came across a post for the Enduro Club in WA. Yeah. So I'm actually from WA, not Tassie.
Okay.
I saw this post. I was like, I really want to meet more people into this sport. And I think I connected with two people online before actually signing up, and this really lovely girl, Stacey, and she sort of spoke me through all of it, and she's very keen on getting more girls into the sport. And so I signed up, rocked up at my first enduro event, had no idea what I was doing. Didn't know what to expect, but yeah, just gave it a go. And I reckon I fell off probably every corner. But I had so much fun because, like you said, you meet people into the same thing, you have such a great weekend, you camp out, you know, you learn something new, like what the event's about. Maybe, you know, a little tip on your riding, how to get better at certain things. Yes. I was kind of hooked on it from there. And by then I'd gotten a different bike. I actually raced enduro on a motocross bike, but like a KTM 250. I think it was an SXF 250. Yeah, for a little while. But it wasn't ideal because it was, I guess it was a kickstart. And like, I don't know, motocross in enduro is not like it's doable, but an enduro bike is way better for enduro.
yeah I agree.
yeah And then actually Stacey, she let me have a go on her EXC 200 enduro bike. one time when we were out riding on the trails, and oh my god, I just remember feeling like I was flying. I was like, oh, this is so much fun. This is so much easier than a motocross bike.
Oh, it's so funny how it makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, the suspension, the gearing, just the whole setup of the bike is just way better. And then, yeah, like once you feel a bit more confident, you know, you can go faster, you can try more things, just have more fun.
That's awesome. And so how did you get into like all of the mindset work and all of that? And how does that, like, to me it's the same, because to me, like I said, everything about your mindset and positivity and all of that stuff all plays into riding for me personally. But how did you get into it?
I think for me, it's like just learning along the way, but also certain study that I've done. But I think after a while, I started to realize the self-development that crosses over into sports and life. And that's pretty much what I'm about these days and what my business going forward will be about. So, yeah, I just started realizing, like, the self-development and how it crosses over into life. It's like how you speak to yourself, like how that affects your reality, how you interact with others as well. What else? If you react to a certain way to the thoughts in your mind and how that impacts your behavior. So if you're talking negatively to yourself, for example, and you're saying, you're shit, or that person's way better than me, and you're comparing yourself to them, then you're really not going to have a great time.
Yeah.
So I think it's, I think it all links back to the self-awareness, the self-awareness of, you know, what's going on for you, what's popping up for you, what thoughts are you letting affect you, and having that awareness. And then after a while I started realizing, well, you actually get to choose how you react to that, and that therefore impacts your behavior. So and if you're talking about sports, it's going to affect your performance as to how you react to it. It's interesting because I talk to different people and everyone's got their different strategy, for example. And some, I'm going to say some males or some females as well, they actually like talking like aggressively to themselves because it helps them perform better. And that's fine. It's whatever works for you. But for me, I'm quite motivating to myself. It's like, you can do it. And, you know, get this, you know, basically you can do it. And I hold that belief. Very strongly.
I definitely get that. I talked to Cody Webb, who, you know, he's a top pro, and he was talking about like the way he talks to himself is more aggressive like that. And I thought it was really interesting because he's like, he's talking about it and he's like, oh, I just tell myself like quit riding like shit and stuff like that. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, dude, you're a top athlete, like in hard enduro, like you don't ride like shit. Like no one in the world thinks that. But that's how he motivates himself. And that's crazy to me because I had to stop speaking negatively to myself because I knew it was affecting me. And I've really like I said, just completely changed my mindset. And so like even out on the trail, when, you know, people are like, what's the worst that could happen? That to me is enough of a moment of negativity that in that split second, I see myself falling off the cliff or not making the obstacle or whatever. And in that split second, it makes a difference. So what I started to do instead is I've started to think, what's the best that could happen? And that split second of me seeing myself do the thing has really helped me out a lot and really given me a lot more confidence to push through. Now, there are some situations where I get into where I am just like frozen. Like the boys took me on this trail and it was on a spine, essentially, like on the ridge top, and it was single track. And I, a couple months ago, fell off of single track off of like a little cliff, and it was like a decent fall. And so I'm a little scared of exposure. And they knew this, so they did it on purpose, but they were there for me like the whole time. But they are just absolute saints. Like, the boys are just awesome. But I froze. I totally froze up. Stuff that normally, if it was any normal hill, I would have made it up and it wouldn't have been a big deal. Or if I fell, I would have been able to get up and get going again. But I was so scared of catapulting myself 5 feet to the left for whatever reason to fall off the cliff that I was so stuck and so in my head. But they did a really good job about like, you've got this, like, it's good. They coached me through, you know, working on like my clutch stuff, and like, I know how to do this. But in that moment, I was just so terrified of where I was. I couldn't focus on anything. But then once we got through it, we got through that section. I rested for a minute. I was like, you guys, I just like, I have to chill out for a second. Like, my face was like completely red. My friend took a picture of me and I have not posted it because my face is absolutely beet red. And I'm like smiling, but what you can't see is I'm smiling, sitting on my bike going, oh my God, I don't want to move right now. Because if like I was far enough away, I wasn't going to fall. But in my head, I was like, I'm going to fall. The wind is going to push me off of this cliff right now. Like, I was freaking out so bad. But it's all about the mindset, and they were really good about getting me out of my head and getting me back into focusing on the trail, getting me back to focusing on what's happening then and now. And I think that that's another big thing that probably drew me to riding, is that you really do have to focus on what's going on and not what's happening at work or what's happening in a relationship or whatever is going on in life. And it takes a lot of focus. So for me, it's been really therapeutic. But then it's also taught me a lot, like I said, about myself, to where I've been able to move forward in my life because of it. So
I agree. I think it offers complete mindfulness because, you know, you're going however fast through the trail. You do not want to hit a tree, a rock, a root, or whatever it is. You have to be there in the moment. And just as you were talking about, you know, being on that ridgeline, it's really interesting. I find fear very interesting to talk about as well, because essentially when you're on that ridgeline, your fear is coming from a past experience, and it's like reenacting that past experience and obviously not wanting that thing to happen again. But when we also talk about fear, it's like, okay, where is fear coming from? It's like, it's coming from us pushing our comfort zone. Are we actually in danger, or are we just reenacting that thing that may happen in our head? So it's very interesting. And I think that it all, again, comes back to that self-awareness. Is like, where's this fear coming from? Am I going to die? Because that is a real thing. Yeah. Am I scared this might happen, but it's probably not going to happen. So I think it's very interesting to ask yourself those questions. And I think what I've noticed is that fear does pop up when you are pushing yourself out of that comfort zone.
Oh yeah, definitely. I was out of my comfort zone that day. I really do. I try. That's my thing this year, is I'm trying to push my comfort zone. I'm trying to push through fears. I'm trying to just really grow. And I wish it was physically, because I'm really short, but I could touch the ground so much easier on my bike if I grew just like 2 inches. That's just a little bit. Yeah. That's all I need.
Is it lower?
I just lowered it. I spent a year riding on a full-size bike that wasn't lowered. Then I realized that I needed to stop being stubborn, and it's changed my life. Where does that fear come from, you were saying? And I think that's a really good thing to explore, because I wasn't consciously thinking at first of the fall. I was just like, okay, I know I'm going up this hill and I know there's going to be exposure. I know that the day before I had exposure going downhill, which are two of my least favorite things. And I made it through and I had a really good experience. And I had this one little section that reminded me of my fall, but I made it through. So I had a good experience. So I was like, why can I not focus on that? Why am I focused on something that happened 2 months ago, 3 months ago? And it wasn't even a thought when I first started the trail, but the second I fell before that part of the trail, it was just like, oh my God, my brain is just like fall mode. I'm gonna fall. And I'm like, why can't I just try? And my friend even said this out on the trail, you've got to trust your skills and you've got to trust yourself and have confidence because like you can do this. And I was like, I know I can, but I don't know. It overwhelmed me. Like, it was just like, like they say a wave of fear. That's what it was. And then I was drowning in that fear. And
yeah,
like, it was crazy. But then, like I said, I made it through that section and I started to feel better. There were still a couple spots that, like, we hit this downhill and my buddy was just like, just follow my line, because he could see the look on my face. And I was like, oh my God, because it was so steep. Yeah. And he's like, just follow my line. Like, it's all good. And I was like, okay. And I made it. And like, it was a really good experience. And I went back to that place. So that was probably 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And I went back to that place this last weekend. And we didn't go on that exact same trail, but there was still a lot of exposure. And I did better. I still got in my head a little bit. But I was able to kind of just be like, okay, the boys aren't going to take me, first of all, on anything that I can't handle. I know that I can trust them. And second of all, I can handle this. Like, I can do this. I have the skills. I know how to do this. And when I hesitate is usually when I fall. And that's exactly what happened. It was the two times that I hesitated, I fell pretty bad. And I mean, I wasn't like falling off the cliff, but it definitely made a difference. I'm like, stop, just commit to it. Just do it. And so it's a lot of learning. It is a lot of learning, but like I said, I've got some really great people who really kind of understand my mindset and where I'm at and where I'm trying to go. And they're really, really helpful in moving me in that direction. And it's really cool because I don't really know how that happened, that we all kind of have similar mindsets, but it is the most awesome thing to have found people like that. And I keep finding people like that in little pockets all over the place. And it's really cool.
That's really, really cool. Like attracts like.
Yes, exactly. And it's been really fun to learn and to just, I feel like I've progressed a lot. And one of my girlfriends down here, I rode with her. And she's like, you're doing a lot better than you did the last time. And I'm like, yeah, I was able to do some stuff that normally would scare me and I'd probably just back out of, but I did it. And another thing that I've learned is my limits. There's a couple things. The boys are really high level and some of the stuff they do, I'm like, no. And they're like, you should try it. And I'm like, yeah, I really can't envision myself doing that like huge jump. Like, but as that's knowing my skills, because like I could probably envision it, but I also know that I don't know how to jump like that. And I'm not, you know, consistent at the skills that I need to do that safely. So I'm like, there's a difference between visualizing and then knowing your limits.
There definitely is. I think both are really important. And it's very interesting when it comes to dirt biking, because you actually do need to try new things to build those new skills. Yeah. And you need to give it yourself a chance to try those new things. But you also, I call it like the comfort zone, right? So your green's inside your comfort zone. You've already got those skills. Orange is sort of just outside of your comfort zone. You've got a little bit of fear there, but you know you're not going to die or anything. And red is where, you know, you see that crazy expert rider do this crazy thing and you're like, I am so far from that. Like, I'm really going to hurt myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the really funny thing. So the last time that I was at this place, it's called Jawbone, I had gone up this, it's not even a big hill. It's just kind of weird. And I had followed this guy who's really good. And I followed him up the hill and I made it no problem. And so I went to go kind of session this little hill and I could not make it for the life of me. And I don't know if you saw the video, but that's the same hill that I ended up hitting. And I sent my bike like to the stars this weekend.
Oh, and, no. Are you okay?
Oh yeah, I was totally fine. It didn't land on me. Like I actually like I was kind of like jumped off of it and then it went and took off and it was just like in the air. Did like a full flip backwards, landed right on the front, broke the headlight. It was great.
Wow.
It was super epic.
Good on you for having a go though.
Yeah. No, I it was really cool because like I tried it. There was a scary line. I didn't mean to take the scary line, but that's what ended up happening. And yeah, it was just kind of like, I sat there for a second and in the video, you can hear my buddy and he's like, you're okay. And because I was just like sat there for a second watching my bike and he's like, you're good. And I'm like, okay. And I was like able to breathe again, but like, oh my God. But then I was like, okay. I think that maybe we need to move to something different because I think I need to come back to this in a little bit. I was like, I need a break from this one.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's again, knowing your limit.
Yes, definitely. And something that I'm really working on, especially because I also want to do Romaniacs next year, is going to be getting really good at the prologue obstacles, so really big logs, like I'm and square edges.
Oh my God, I'm so glad that you said that because that's exactly what I was like looking at. I'm trying to build an enduro cross course here on my property. And that was the first thing that I looked at. I was like, what are the prologue, what does it look like at Romaniacs? Because the worst parts of that, I mean, there's still going to be stuff. I'm still going to struggle, but the worst parts of that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think everyone will probably struggle, but I don't think it's easy. No. But one thing I learned of someone else who's already tried to do the race, who was a similar skill set to me now, is that he didn't prologue well and basically he spent all this money to do this race and he got behind all the bottlenecks. And so because you don't prologue well, you don't start well, you start at the back and then therefore you get timed out basically getting stuck at bottlenecks, which would be, would suck if you're spending all this money on a race.
Yeah. See, and I guess I didn't even think about that. Like, I'm probably going to be one of those bottleneck people. But
I might be too, but hey, we've got a whole year, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what I keep saying is, like, I, like, my friends are like, oh my God, you're crazy. First of all, I am not doing the gold course because that's, of course, what everybody thinks about first. They're like, I can't believe you're going to do that and you're going to get that good in a year. I'm like, dude, I'm doing iron class. I'm not doing anything crazy. Are you doing silver or are you, what are you doing?
No. So what I've heard is there a level up from us? So I'm currently bronze bordering silver. So if I can get to silver here, I'm going to be doing bronze over there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That so, but great. Honestly, I think you're going to do it.
Oh, thank you. I really just need to nail these logs. Like at the moment, my brain is just super. I know I can do it because in practice, I have stood up into big logs. But as soon as the pressure's on, and I think it's because I just haven't spent enough time building that skill. Because you know, skill is something like ingrained in your subconscious that you can actually tap into into any in any moment. Whereas
when
I did Wildwood last year, for example, they're bike high logs, way higher than your bike, obstacles, tires, whatever it is. And I wasn't able to tap into that skill of standing up into obstacles, which obviously I know you need to do, but I can somehow get around it by sitting and wheeling into things.
That's crazy. Oh my God, that's really cool though. I remember seeing your videos of Wildwood and just going, oh my God, I can't believe she's doing that. Like, I can't believe anyone's doing that, but like, that's gnarly.
Crazy. I don't think I've ever felt so much fear. Like, I, even my partner, because he went with me. You know, everyone in Australia, you know, Wildwood is the biggest thing that, you know, you could aspire to for the hard enduro. And so when you sign up to it and you get there and you're like, who am I to be here, you know?
Yeah.
I was that nervous. I don't reckon I don't think I spoke much in the morning because I just couldn't. I was just so nervous.
It's a lot. I think I'm gonna be the same way because I haven't done a hard enduro yet. My first race is next month and I'm getting nervous now, but I think I'm gonna be the same way. My biggest thing is that I know a lot of people in the community now, and a lot of people are gonna like know who I am out there, and I'm like, they're gonna be watching me.
But also cheering on.
Yeah, and that's very true. But I know a lot of like the higher level riders, and I feel like they're gonna run me over at some point. They're just gonna be like, "Hey, Angel," as they like run over my bike.
It's interesting because I've so I'm also a motorbike coach, and I've coached a fair few women now over the last couple of years, and a lot of fear comes from the fact that they think they're not good enough to race, but also that they think that people will be watching them. And it's like, actually, once you're immersed in the community, everyone is so supportive. They really, really are. And there's going to be people that are faster than you. There's always going to, even the top people have faster, like people that are faster than them. So it doesn't actually, matter. I think it's just maybe just a big fear that they letting it hold them back.
And that's a huge reason why I just decided to jump in and do a hard enduro. I believe that like to get more women into it, we have to like that's the whole reason why like I'm, you know, showing my riding and stuff is I'm trying to be real. I'm trying to be real with my skill set, but also show you don't have to be, like you said, at a specific skill level to try it. I'm not going to win. My goal for my first one is to make the first checkpoint. That's it. If I get past that, or if I get to the first checkpoint, obviously I'm going to try and keep going. I would love to make an entire lap, but this one that I'm doing is very gnarly and it's absolutely insane. So it's, you know, realistically one checkpoint is probably all I'm going to be able to do. And maybe two. Yeah. But I, you know, there's a lot of women who are just like, well, I think I have to know how to do this, this, and this, you know, the wheelies, the getting over the logs, like you said, all of these things. I have to be able to do all of these pivot turns and everything before I can even consider it. And I'm like, no, let's just go and do it. So that's what I'm doing. It's what I want to do. It's my dream. So I'm making it happen. And I'm trying to show other women that it's possible to just go and do it. And so then there's also a women's challenge that's kind of happening for TKO this year. TKO is not a world round. So we're kind of focusing it on women. My friend and I are getting like a little race team together for it. And right now we have, I think, 9 women who are going to be going, and it's going to be their first time at this event. And were the biggest thing that we heard when we were talking to women about hard enduro and why people haven't tried it is because women don't want to be the only one. So they don't want to be the only woman on the lineup. They want to do it with other women. So we decided to rally, and this works out with like our GNCC schedules, what she races normally. She does like fast stuff. And so a bunch of these women are GNCC racers that are going to be trying hard enduro. So I'm really excited for it. It's really cool. So we're just going to have like this whole team of women, and we're all just going to go and line up together. And hopefully this is going to be the biggest, we're hoping it's the biggest turnout of women to this event ever. So
epic. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, I think there's something so special about having some more women in the sport. I don't know. Yes. I think it's nothing against men. I think it's just that extra supportive aspect of it, of women supporting women and showing them the way, and showing them that it is possible, that you don't have to do these massive wheelies and pivot turns and
etc.
You just need to start, and everybody starts somewhere, you know. Even the top riders, they started somewhere.
Exactly. And the top women here are absolutely incredible. They're super, super supportive. And it was actually last year at TKO, I was walking the course with Rachel Kudish, and she was just so supportive. She's like, "Why aren't you racing?" And I just laughed. And I was like, "No." And I was like, "It's going to be years before I do this." So she's like, "You should just do it." And she was just like really encouraging. And I was like, "I'm not at your level, Rachel." I was like, "I can't do this stuff." She goes, "No, you should totally do it." And so like her, Louise Forsley, you know, Addie Albrecht, all of these women are just being so supportive to other women out here. And it's just, it's really cool. And then not all of them are tall, you know, so it's really cool because then shorty little me can figure out, you know, different ways to do different things and make it a little bit easier. And ultimately, that's why I decided to lower my bike finally, was because all the guys kept telling me, "Oh, don't lower it. It's going to change this and it's going to change that," and all this stuff. And then I had all these pro women be like, "Oh, no, my bike, it doesn't make that big of a difference." And I'm like, "Wait, what? Like, I could do that and it not screw up the bike? Like, what?" I just feel like there's a lot of things that women can't relate to men and everything. And I think that that's a big part of it. It's that camaraderie that you just can't have with a guy, which, like I said, I'm ranting and raving about my boys in California. Yeah. Like, they are absolutely amazing guys, but they can't understand everything. So It's really nice to have that and have more women who are into it. So I want to grow the sport in general, and I want to help, you know, more people in general get into hard enduro, but I definitely want to see more ladies in it as well. I want to see women get more competitive with it and help each other. And, you know, as more women get into it, we all push each other up to the next level.
I agree, and especially here in Tassie, there's no other girls that want to race hard enduro yet.
Oh, jeez. Yes. Maybe they will hire somebody.
Well, the chicks that just came over from New South Wales, they're really keen to come back, so I'm really hoping that they come into a hard enduro.
That'd be cool.
But yeah, it's just a start. And I think the more you put yourself out there, things on social media, the more connections you make, the more, you know, things you show people, that if you don't actually have to be a top rider to give it a go and to start. And I think what you said before is just showing that progression and showing like, this is the level that I'm at. I'm totally fine to show that. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 6 months later, they see that you're actually doing that thing. I was like, "Oh, she's put in the work," and that's how you build the skills. And it's totally possible for anyone to do.
Yeah, definitely. I keep saying that if I, as this clumsy, klutzy person who had no coordination, can do what I'm doing now on a bike, I wouldn't have imagined this. If you told me 2 years ago that I would be riding the terrain that I've been riding, I would have laughed at you and been like, "Oh yeah, okay, no, I would die before I do that." But now I'm doing it. And yes, it scares me. Yeah, I freak out a little bit, but I'm still doing it and I'm pushing myself to keep going back to the fundamentals that are going to help keep me safe in those situations. My balance, you know, lock bar turns, all of these things to help, because that's what I need to translate out onto the trail. You know, those, they're fundamentals for a reason. So, and I'm not perfect at them, but I do practice them and I try. And then, like you were saying, it kind of, for me, it's like, I call it like muscle memory, right? So like at some point when my brain is in full fear mode, I want to have it. So I'm so trained on doing the balance or whatever it is that my body just takes over even when my brain is too scared. So I'm still working on that. I'm starting to get there, but not quite there yet.
Yeah. And I think it also taps into your belief systems as well. Because if I think about logs, I already have that belief system that, like, my default is sitting into big logs, and I can do it because, like, and therefore I'm not as scared because and I believe that I can do it. So I just tap into that. But I don't yet have that belief system that I can stand up into big logs, and therefore am not able to tap into it last minute when I'm scared and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it is scary, and like that's a lot. It's a lot. It's like my thing. If anytime my front wheel comes up, I'm like, oh my God. And I just kind of the same thing. Like my first instinct is to hit that back brake and bring the front down. And I'm like, oh, stop doing that. Like there's times where I need it to happen.
Yeah. I know. Sometimes I kind of wish like the fear wouldn't come up, because I'm like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like I really just need to stand up into these bloody logs.
Yeah.
I know I can do it. But again, I think that's a good thing about dirt biking. Like it really does teach you, if you work hard for something, like if you are repetition, you can build that skill, and that's like anything in life. So it's really, you know, the dedication, the time, the enthusiasm to do that thing, and it can happen.
Yeah. The enthusiasm to do hard things. Cause that's another thing I tell myself on the trail all the time, is like, when I start to get like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, oh, we're going up another huge hill. Like I have to come back down that, and I hope it's okay. And then I just like catch myself and I'm like, you know what? I do hard things for fun. Like, this is what I do. I do hard things for fun. And then I kind of like make it into a little jingle and I'm like singing to myself and I'm like, okay, I feel a lot better now. Like, this is fun. Yeah. All right. And that's the whole point, right? We all go out there to have fun. At some point, every single one of us found something that made us happy about riding, and that's why we do it. So even in those moments when I'm absolutely terrified, I have to remind myself sometimes, like, hello, you did this to yourself because this is supposed to be fun. Like, so remember that. And then all of a sudden there's that little switch. And then, you know, it's starting to get to that point on exposure. Everything else is kind of like pretty decent, but it's exposure mostly, like the super high stuff that I'm like, and I have to remind myself.
Oh, I think that's a really good tool that you can tap into, though, because, you know, our thoughts create our reality. And if you're thinking, oh, my God, that thing is so hard, like I can't do that, rah, 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 you're creating more tension for yourself. But if you're able to just flip that and go, no, I do hard things for fun, instantly your vibration changes, your focus changes, and you're like, I can do this. No worries.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a go.
I've had some pretty intense times where like I got stuck at the bottom of a mountain and I had to push my bike back up because I physically, this was before it was lowered, so I physically could not touch the ground, could not get started. It was so steep, all of these things. And I'm just pushing my bike up with like, it was in first gear, but I still had to like zap it over like roots and stuff like that. And I just couldn't even physically get on it. So I'm like holding it above my head and pushing it and pushing it. And it was just this really long way. And I was just like stopping and I had no service. Like my friend couldn't find me. And I was like, oh my God. And that was kind of when it started, where I was like, okay, I do hard things for fun. I want to do hard enduro. This is just hard enduro training. This is just training to do what I want to do. I'm going to look at it like that. And then, so I made it through that day. And that was kind of like when it started, all of that, because I was like, I realized that my mindset in that moment was needing to change from, oh my God, I'm stressed out. I'm like lost. I went down the wrong trail. I'm stuck in this position. I can't get a hold of anybody. And then I was just like, no, I'm going to think about it differently and then feel better about it. And then all of a sudden I just felt like I had this strength out of nowhere. And I mean, it was still a lot. I still sat down when I got to the top. And I was just like, I need a minute. But
but you know, it was story, right?
Well, it did, yeah. And it really did. It was a pivotal moment in changing that mindset for me and really steered everything to where I am now. And I'm not where I want to be with my mindset or my riding or any of that. I'm still working on it. I'm still growing. But it's just really cool because I've been able to kind of start to see the progression myself. You know, you don't always see it in yourself. And then people start pointing it out to you and you're like, wow, okay, I really have come a long way. That's kind of cool.
But I think that's the beautiful thing. Like I don't think the journey will ever stop. I don't think the growth will ever stop with your mindset or riding. I think there's always something to learn, always something that will pop up. Like it's a never ending journey, really.
And I think that's one of the things that I love about it, because I do love to learn new things and I love to just constantly be pushing and challenging myself. You know, before I really got into riding, I was really into running, and you know, I was training for an ultra marathon, and that's a lot of like strength and resilience that you have to have for that too. So like I said, I do hard things for fun.
Yeah. We could talk about running, but I don't know, I think we'll run out of time.
I know, I was just gonna say we need like a whole nother hour to talk about running and training and all of that stuff. It's been really, really cool to watch you though, like your journey. I feel like you're like me in like a year or two on, you know, skill level and all of that stuff. And it's really cool because your mindset is in the space that I want to be at and that I'm working to get to. So it's really awesome to see that. And it's so inspiring to see the stuff that you post all the time. So thank you for being real. Thank you for posting all of that stuff. It's been really cool because there's days where I'm just like, I start to get in my head and you post something and I'm like, yes, okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm back on track now. So it's really, really cool.
That's so nice to hear. And you know, we're just talking on the weekend about social media and how a lot of people demonize it. Actually, it can be a really good tool. I mean, I met you through it. I've met these other girls through social media. And like, you know, as long as you filter your feed to be good, it provides a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. I know my friend was telling me that the other day. She was saying how she's like, oh, it's just mindless scrolling. And I was like, mindless? And I was like, first of all, I'm watching dirt bike videos. Most of them are like how to do things, you know? I was like, or, you know, just people doing really cool stuff. But I was like, and then the other half of my feed is mindset stuff. So it's like all about growth for me. So that's what my algorithm is, you know, geared towards, but not everybody's is like that. So it is what you make it, just like everything else in life. Every experience in life is going to be what you make it. You could get stuck out in the mud in the middle of nowhere and make it a crappy experience, or you can make it into a training session, or you know, it's all what you do with it. So
just taking ownership for your life and your situation.
And that's exactly
what the dirt bike teaches you, because you know you're stuck on that hill and it's hard and you can't get over this log or this root or whatever, and you could have a hissy fit, but is that going to help? Not just take ownership of your situation and go, let's fucking get through this.
Yes, I love it. Oh, that's awesome. I like I said, your mindset is just solid, and I absolutely love it. It's really, really inspiring to me, and I just keep being awesome. That's all I've got to say. It's just keep being awesome. Keep posting it. I love seeing your riding. I love seeing your running, everything that you do. It's really cool. And I'm absolutely inspired. So this is really cool. I know it feels like so short. I feel like we could talk for like days.
I know. We need to do a part two.
We will. We definitely will. But I do really appreciate your time, especially we are on an 18-hour time difference for everyone listening. So it's really hard to line up schedules across the world, but we did it. So I really appreciate you, Kat. This is really amazing. And it's like a dream come true to finally sit down and talk.
Back at you, Angel. You also inspire me so much, and I love your content. And keep it coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, in our last minute or so, do you have anybody you want to shout out or thank?
I'd love to shout out my mechanic, Staten Matero. They have helped me so much. Honestly, they sponsored me suspension in my bike, and it is an absolute game changer. So I use N10Z suspension, and I've just jumped a level in riding. The confidence, the speed, the everything, and just want to do a big shout out to Josh Staten from Staten Matero, because he's helped me so much and I'm forever grateful.
That's awesome. Well, thank you again so much. And we will definitely get a part two lined up. So we will talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Bye. All right.